Final half hour. We're out here at 5:30. Canada, Slovakia tonight. Pre-game and again about a half an hour. Brian Hayes, Dave Poulin, Overdrive here on TSN 1050. And up on TSN 2. James Duthie will join us here in a moment. Duthie preparing for another panel night. He, the O-Dog, Bob McKenzie, Cheryl Pounder out there doing their thing.
He and I.
Panel was on fire last night.
Yeah, they were. He and I were did the Olympics together, obviously, and you know, we're on the Slavkovsky thing before it was a thing. And remember, in the breaks, we'd be looking at each other like, this kid's really good.
Like, did you think first overall really
we
good?
We thought first overall. Both James and I did.
Really?
And we talked about it at the time. We've talked about it on air before the draft. And because we kept thinking about Jágr. And we kept thinking about a young Jágr, and we looked at that draft. He went fifth overall in that draft. Mm-hmm. And the four players taken ahead of Jágr were all good NHL players, but they weren't Jaromír Jágr. And it's the body type. It's 6'4". It's the winger. It's the long reach. You know, it's the puck protection in the corner. And that's what we envisioned through those Olympics. And
that's pretty good scouting.
It was kind of funny because we laughed about it all the time. That was like our little secret was mm-hmm. that we were drafting Slavkovsky first. We didn't know what, you know, Montreal was going to do, but we were taking him first.
Yeah. It's funny how it feels like you can find more guys who look and play like Jágr than other types of great players. I don't know why that is, but I have a couple of examples. Slavkovsky being one of them, although I haven't seen him nearly enough. I'll give you another example where I thought I was out in front of the scouting watching simply the World Juniors. I watched this guy play like twice. And I'm like, that's a player, and he looks just like Jágr. Mikko Rantanen. Remember watching Rantanen at the World Juniors, and I texted Ray. I'm like, what's up with this Rantanen kid? He's like, he's outstanding. Same kind of thing. Big dude, winger, controls the puck, really, like one-man cycle. Now, Jágr's a different beast. I don't think Jágr gets enough attention as like a top 10 or 15 player all time.
You know, I was just checking. He's not in the Hall of Fame because he's not retired.
Right. But where does he rank for you? Could you make a case for him being a top 10 player all time?
I almost think that the jumping he did, like all around the league, hurt him.
Right.
Like, had he been in one place through and won multiple cups, like he won his two cups in Pittsburgh, but I think the movement almost hurt him. I'm going to tell you, he was so strong. Like, everyone's strong and close in the NHL. And, you know, I saw him at his best in his cup years when he was a young kid. But he would hold the puck far away and be strong. That was the uniqueness. Because the further out you go away from your body, it's really hard to be that strong. But his hand strength and his strength on his stick at a distance from his body, you know, and
incredible.
His rear end was 4 feet wide.
Yeah, he was one-man
cycle.
Like,
you couldn't
get
around him.
You couldn't. And he wasn't a burner.
Nope.
Like, not a great skater.
Nope. But deceptively fast.
In and around the net, too, man. That thing was
just the hands were. Yeah. And the quickness in the first step and the size was so deceptive.
But you look at his numbers, though, of Pooley. Like, I think he suffers from he played as long as he did. But that didn't seem to hurt Gordie Howe.
No, it didn't.
Like, Gordie Howe has just accepted Gordie's a top five player all time.
And he's actually praised for playing as long as he did.
Exactly. Like, why does Jágr not get the same praise? Especially when you consider, like, he left for the KHL multiple times, and that hurt him in terms of his lifetime stats.
Back and forth is what I mean, yeah.
Yeah, but, like, he had a season in 15-16. He was well into his 40s. When he was with Florida, he had 27 goals and 66 points. That should be revered. You know, like a few years before that in New Jersey at 67, you're right, he jumped around everywhere. He really did play everywhere. But there were multiple seasons in his career when he was in Pittsburgh in particular that were absolutely outrageous.
I know a little bit too much about those, actually.
Yes, I'm sure you would have been. Yeah, you would have been probably on the wrong side of a few.
Both of his cup years, we lost him in the Final Four when I was in Boston.
Wow.
And then the final series of my career was in Washington against Pittsburgh in a 7-game series.
He won the Art Ross 5 times.
Quietly?
5
Like, would
times.
You say that's quietly?
I think so. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think I would put Jágr in my top 10 all time, but shouldn't he be in the top 20?
He should.
Are there 20 players better than Jaromír Jágr lifetime? Like, all time? I don't know. I mean, it's a tough...
It's a great argument.
But I don't think he ever comes up. And he's a modern player.
Yeah.
And it seems like you know, obviously Gretzky and Lemieux come up before, and they're kind of before him. Like when he was on those Pittsburgh teams, he was just getting into the league. But I would say Sakic, Yzerman get as much attention, if not more. I think Sid and Ovi certainly do. Probably deservedly so. I think Sid and Ovi are better players.
They all won their cups.
But is Jágr, like, are Yzerman and Sakic better than Jágr?
Individually? Well, we could ask our director of pro scouting, because this is our next guest is our director of pro scouting. Craig is amateur scouting, but James, with his recent selection of Slafkovský in the draft.
Yeah, he saw him first.
He's a pro guy.
He tipped off Montreal.
He's a pro guy.
Yeah, he is a pro guy, unless he's at the World Juniors. He's a junior guy or he's a pro guy?
But he's got his pro eye on the juniors.
Okay, here's the host of the World Juniors out in Edmonton. He's in Edmonton. Here's James Duthie. What's going on out there, JD?
Pooley's right. I was on Slafkovský. Me and Pooley were on him at the Olympics. I'd seen him at the World Juniors before. I believe before Montreal knew his name, that we had him.
Yeah,
tapped like as number one.
Well, Pooley just referenced that, you know, scouting report a moment ago, and that you guys both said, "Wow, it looks like Jaromír Jágr." And we just got into this spontaneous conversation about Jágr and how I don't hear his name come up enough as a potential breakthrough top 10 all time, top 15, top 20. You know, compared to members of his own generation, guys like Yzerman and Sakic, I think get more attention or more love. Am I wrong in saying that? Like, does Jágr get enough attention appreciation?
I've never thought of him as being ignored that way, but maybe you're right just in, you know, more, I don't know, comparison to, you know, Sakic and Yzerman. I think he probably gets as much attention as those guys. There's probably a Canadian factor involved, which I think that's fair all the time, that in this country we sometimes lead towards the Canadian guys. But I think it's more playing in the era of Lemieux and Gretzky to an extent. But no, I don't think you're like crazy wild off base, Hayes, but I don't think Jágr gets disrespected in any way.
No, I guess it's not disrespected, but you look at his stats, like we just pointed this out. He won the Art Ross five times.
I think he might be one of those victims of the playing forever thing. And that there is not a generation, but there's a, you know, a group, a decade there of people that saw Jágr score 20 goals, 25 goals a season in those last, you know, 8 years or whatever, when he was 47 or whatever the heck he was, which was incredibly impressive, but it wasn't the Jágr of the 90s that just blew us away. So I always think that that's part of it. When guys hang around a long time, yeah, sure, we praise them for that, and it's remarkable them playing into their mid-40s or late-40s, but I do think you lose a little bit of the memories of what you were in your prime when you do that, as opposed to the guys. You know, Barry Sanders, for all he was leaving, you know, so early, you know, I did an event with him once where he had like zero regrets, he said, of leaving early. And he had no reason still. I'm like, Barry, why'd you leave? And, you know, everybody talked about the contract dispute with the Lions and everything. He's like, I don't know. I just didn't feel like playing anymore. Sorry, I got some fans heckling from the side.
I love overdrive!
That would be Jeff O'Neill, by the way.
Yeah, it should be. Well, it's his show. That's an Antonio Brown moment right there. He loves his own show, as he should.
It's pathetic. It's because he was sitting about when we were working and he wasn't yesterday, which is most of the games, where Bob and I tend to do 90% of the games and O does, you know, four. I was yelling overdrive sucks two sections over. Now, no offense, Hayes. It was just for O-Dog.
No, yeah, I don't take any offense whatsoever. Did you tell scouts about Connor Bedard? What was your comment to scouts?
I was also the first to see him.
Right. How did he look up close and personal?
I think that that's really, you know, this tournament, which frankly with the timing and everything that's going on here, doesn't have a lot of buzz. I think he is the greatest hope for it to generate buzz, because he is the guy to see here at this tournament. No disrespect to a bunch of other really good players here, but just, you know, the guys we're talking about on the panel, just the little stuff, the way he changes the angle on his shot. There's so much. You hate to throw like names like Matthews and McDavid there, but he does things like that. You know what I mean? The way he changes the angle on his shot. I feel like there's a little McDavid and a little Matthews in there in his release, and it's something to see. So I think, you know, every Canadian game I think the biggest hype is we get to watch and see what Connor Bedard's going to do.
So you've watched a lot of superstars over the years at that tournament, and you mentioned a couple of guys for things that he does, but is there a guy he reminds you of, like specifically on coming through this tournament? And it could be for any country. It doesn't have to be Canadian.
You know, there's a little bit of everything there, Pooley. Like, there's a little bit of Sid, and I'm not comparing the style of Sid, but kind of the way he's built. Like, he's a little guy, but he's got the big rear end, and I think he's, you know, Sid is a freak, right? Like, if you see Sid, basically ass and legs, it's just giant. And I think Connor Bedard is going to be like that. You know, he's just turned 17 3 weeks ago. But you see that. And there's certain things, the way he skates once in a while, that remind me of that. And like I said, the shot and some of the things remind me of Matthew. So there's not one guy, but there's little things in his game that remind me of about half a dozen guys. All good.
And you wonder if in this day and age when you can study players so much and you can break down so much, like he's had every bit of video available to him as he's growing up. How much of that is because he studied these other guys?
I think he has a ton. And it's still hard when you look. He's not tall, but I wonder, too, he may not be done growing, right? A guy like Mike Johnson, who grew like 5 inches or something like that when he was... MJ, you grew what, like 5 inches when you were 18? Okay, so 11th grade, he grew like 8 inches. So that's still sort of Connor Bedard's, you know, wheelhouse, you know, within about 6 months or so. So I'm not saying he will be. I haven't really had a good look at his parents. But, it's just you wonder, okay, can this guy, this kind of little guy, be not just a star in the NHL? Because I think he can be. But can he be like a generational McDavid Matthews talent? And it kind of defies logic to an extent, but I can't wait to see if he can.
Yeah, I think it happens every handful of years, right? Like, we're probably due for that. I don't think your boy Slavkovsky would classify as, you know, generational talent. Maybe morphs into that.
You know, and I should put a lid on that. We've milked this generational thing ludicrously. Like, you can't call it a generational talent. Would be one every 15 years, right? What's a generation? 15 years?
Yeah, about that. Yeah,
and we basically declare it every 3.
Right.
But I think that's kind of fair. Like, Matthews and McDavid both kind of feel like generational talents, although I guess Makar is a generational talent, too. So I guess we now have one basically every year, it seems, which is silly. But so the word gets overused, but we know what we're talking about, just sort of franchise, superstarish player. And
right.
I think he's going to be one. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way he's trending. And it can like, you look at Crosby and Ovechkin, they went in back-to-back drafts. Both of them are generational. Like, you can't just pick one.
And yet
one.
Malkin's not, and his numbers are right.
And Gino should be.
Yeah.
You're right, Gino should
be. If he were the only one there of the three, he would be.
Yeah. And, you know, Patrick Kane was not far beyond him, and Jonathan Toews went third overall the next draft, I think it was. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, generational, is it Gretzky, Lemieux, Lindros, Sid, McDavid, or can you, I mean, how can you not include Ovechkin? You have to.
Yeah. So I like I said, the word, I think the word gets overused, but I think we sort of understand what it means, right? It just means like a true superstar that's playing above everybody else.
So what's the buzz like out there on this Robin Leonard news, him being out for the season, and how is Vegas possibly going to recover from that?
Well, seeing that my day has consisted of going to the driving range with O and having lunch in my room watching the Finland-Czechia game, are you buzzing about the Robin Leonard injury? I don't know that I'd be the right guy to gauge the buzz.
I'm trying to create some buzz for you out there. Come on, give me some buzz. Ask people in the building.
It's an inside joke in my own brain. My favorite radio question, like when I get to the Super Bowl, right? I'll fly in and like take a cab ride to the hotel and sleep for 12 hours. So I'll go on a show and somebody will say, "What's the buzz like?"
Yeah,
I'll be like,
best.
Well, it's only the cab driver that I've spoken to. He doesn't seem too pumped. Doesn't it seem like Vegas is now, like Vegas made a deal with the gods to have that remarkable first season, and now they're going to be paying for it with their souls for the next 20 or 30 years?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the way it feels to me, that everything you know, everything went right for them for those early few years, and now it seems like everything's going horrifically wrong, and this would just be the latest thing.
I had just finished reading a report on Vegas and projecting them to come back and win the West because injuries couldn't possibly be the same for them this year that they've been in past years, and here we go.
I have to be, I lose track in summer, and, you know, we do that free agency show, which is just this crazy slew of backup goalies signing. Who's the guy behind Leonard?
Larry Brossoit, Hutchinson.
Yeah, and, you know, we would know by what Toronto went through that there's not a lot of guys sitting out there that are ready and raring to come in and play 42 games or something. So that's a massive problem for them.
Looking at Team Canada, we've talked about Bedard, and when you go to these tournaments, just as we did watching Slovakia in the Olympics, and is there another player in Canada, and you're saying, wow, the fans of the team that drafted him are going to love this kid?
Probably Ridly Gregg, and I know you know him well, Fooley, by all the work you do on the Sens. And, you know, he took a couple of dumb penalties yesterday, but was still named player of the game. And, look, he's not going to be a star in the NHL by any means, but as that sort of third-line center role that he's playing here, he's just, you know, super physical. The pre-tournament game that wasn't on TV, we sat in the rink and watched, and he just absolutely leveled one of the Swedish kids, and I'm not even sure if he's back in the tournament or not. So he's just one of those guys that hits like crazy. And that used to be the theme. You know, when I started doing the World Juniors in 2005, 2006, remember those Brent Sutter teams that came out and just, all they did was just run at everybody. And that was kind of the trademark of Team Canada, is that they would kind of intimidate all these other teams out of the rink. And like the rest of the game, that's kind of disappeared, right? You don't really see a ton of big body checks in this tournament or anywhere else anymore. And Greg's got a little bit of that in him, and plus, you know, a ton of skill. He's got a Stapchuk and DeFour and I think it's just a really good look. They're all good forwards on this team. They're all stars on their respective teams. But he's the one guy I thought, you know, yesterday just stuck out to me a little bit. But there's, you know, we always try to pick a pony. That's our thing on the panel. Everybody picks a pony, and I haven't got one yet. Ask me after today.
All right, we will. Well, buzz updates and pony updates in the future. We look forward to it.
How were you on the range? Were you as good as you were last week on the range, or? Share that with Hayes.
You gotta share that with Hayes. Pooley and our friend Mark Teske were kind enough to have me out at St. George's, and it may have been hazy. The single worst range session, not only in the history of my career, but in the history of golf. I was laying sod over shot after shot after shot. And by the first tee, I was terrified. And
you know, smoked a drive, like, right to the bottom of the hill of the green.
Yeah,
yeah, and then
right down
80,
the middle.
So there you go. I don't know.
Wow. Our host was looking at him like, who are you?
what is the opposite of Ranger Rick? Because that's what I am.
I love it. Hey, listen, the range doesn't show up on the scorecard, buddy.
This was kind of a tin cup-ish range we were at today, where we were basically hitting off concrete. And O described the balls as basically the worst things he's ever hit. As I leave you today, I have to tell you that I was with O in the lobby, and a guy asked him if he was Mike Trout.
That's just not true. He's trying to peddle that. You talk about trying to pick up steam. We brought that up before, and there is just absolutely no resemblance. None whatsoever.
It's happening. It's happening a lot of places, apparently.
Yeah, well,
there's the buzz.
There you go. There's buzz. Mike Trout went from Pearson to Edmonton, and, you know, there you go. All right, we'll see. All right, man, enjoy it. There he is, James Duthie, host of the World Juniors, Canada, Slovakia coming up. Yeah, the O-Dog's out there finding time to hit the range for some reason.
Now, a normal range wouldn't contain his shots. He'd hit it over the end. He did it over the end net.
Generally, yeah, you got to have a pretty deep range. Yeah, that can be a problem. Although, yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? Ranges, there's one by my house, and they do really well. There's a lot of people, like, constantly. I drive by it all the time. There's all the mats and all the blocks are usually filled up, and the golf balls. I know what they're talking about. They've been hit 15,000 times. Like, these golf balls were probably paid for in 1997, and that's what you're getting a big bucket for $15, but you were hitting Scud missiles all over the place, you know. But it's good to be out there, right? And a bad range session, that was me the other day. I shot 78 for the first time in a while. I really played well. And I was on the putting green before. I did not make one putt. I was putting four-footers. Have you ever had that where you're just trying to warm up on the putt and nothing? Yes. I didn't make anything, and then I went out there and played well.
Clearly had that. Our host, actually, after James's first tee shot last week, our host looked at me and goes, did you see him on the range?
Yeah, that's never good. When you're rolling the sod over on the range, it is generally a sign of what's to come, but I guess that wasn't the case for JD.
And the greenskeeper's glaring.
Yes.
Glaring.
Because they got to go out there and fix it after the guest showed up and chopped it around.